Hey everyone, this is Wade with Wade for Wireless at wadeforwireless.com, and I am here today to tell you what I think about FirstNet and when will it happen. But first, I want to thank Tower Safety. TowerSafety.com, based in Phoenix, Arizona, that will do all your tower training and rescue training for your company. And if you can't go to Phoenix, they will come to you. They also do OSHA training and safety training, and they will prepare you for the NWSA certificate whenever that's released. You got to go to a training center for it. But first, today I want to talk about FirstNet. I don't talk about FirstNet a lot, but I do talk wireless deployment. Wireless deployment, wireless deployment, wireless deployment. I'm writing a book on wireless deployment, which should be out in less than a week. So, and I'm going to have a sign up on the blog. So go ahead, sign up. I'm going to have pre-sales there if you're interested. What the book's all about is wireless deployment around small cells, C-RAN. I do DAS, and I have some mini macro stuff in there. Anyway, let's get back to FirstNet. When will it happen? The RFP, the real RFP, is supposed to happen at the end of the year, and I'll tell you what sparked this. I read two articles. One's by Andrew Siebold, who I'm a fan of. He's a wireless industry analyst. Yes, he's an analyst. I know a lot of you guys aren't, a lot of you tower guys aren't fans of analysts, but that's how we foretell the future. He's got a crystal ball that he looks into, and he tells us what's going to happen. Is he right? Yeah, most of the time. It's pretty accurate. He makes recommendations on what he would like to see happen. And the other thing was, oh, and both of these are mission critical articles. I'm a fan of mission critical. I do read them. I know this probably, you probably don't care, but I look back on my FirstNet files, like where I worked, I wrote a lot of stuff up, a lot of sales stuff around FirstNet and public safety broadband. And for those of you that don't know, like people were bidding on LTE networks. When I say people, I mean states, counties, and there were several trials that FirstNet adopted. However, did you know the state of Oklahoma wanted to build their own LTE network? They were big fans of public safety broadband, and they had plans to cover the state with LTE, and that was stopped, shut down, because FirstNet took over and wouldn't give them any frequencies. Let me tell you, without spectrum, you can't do much. It's just the way it is. So they shut down that part of the offer. So what happens? Obviously, Oklahoma didn't do anything. And Alcatel-Lucent, who happened to win the bid, lost big time. And it wasn't just them. There were several offers lost. Ericsson, Motorola. A lot of people were going to build up FirstNet. Now, this was years ago. Literally, I'm trying to think. I think it was 2 or 3 years ago. I'm recording this in October of 2015. And in 2012 is when people really expected things to take off. Here it is, 2015, and we hope that the RFP comes out at the end of 2015 so someone can win it in 2016. I mean, it's been 5 or 6 years. You know, I think a lot of people, especially in deployment, you don't realize how long these things take to happen. And if you're in deployment and you want to ignore this because it's FirstNet, I get it. It's a year away, a year and a half away. That's what I would say. 2017 is probably when things may start to happen. I give people a hard time because it takes so long to get this stuff together. And I get it. A lot of people come back to me and say, well, it's probably better to plan and think things out. And I get that. But the issue is, by the time they deploy a nationwide network on LTE, 4G, 5G will be out. They might have to do upgrades. It'll be old technology. I hate to point this out, but I look at Sprint. Sprint, you know, has built the Network Vision, which was a combination of LTE and CDMA. CDMA for voice, but they still have EVDO and 1X and so on, and LTE for data, because that was the vision at the time, the Network Vision. Well, what is it now? Now, companies like AT&T Wireless and Verizon Wireless are trying to shut down their CDMA network. It's not a quick process. A lot of people have CDMA phones, 3G phones. Let me just say 3G. It's easier to say. A lot of people still have 3G phones. They don't want to give them up. There's a lot of people out there on 2G phones yet. They don't want to give them up. They don't want to give up the plan. All they need is voice. That's it. So what they do is keep their phones, and the carrier, whoever it is, whether it's, you know, Intelos, Shentel, US Cellular, usually it's the smaller carriers like that, members of the CCA that have these people on there because, you know, they're valuable customers. And plus, it costs a lot of money to upgrade your network. But the reality is, when you have 2G, 3G, and 4G, you have to maintain all those networks. It's sucking up spectrum that you could use for 4G. And now with carrier aggregation, 2G, you know, that's just voice. Really, that's what 2G is. 2G is voice. And it's getting to the point, in my opinion, where CDMA is just going to be voice. Granted, there's WCDMA and there's EVDO, 1X, whatever, that's data. But you want everyone on LTE because smartphones are becoming prevalent. Luckily, most of the new smartphones, if not all, are LTE, which is what you want. So I know I'm getting way off point here. FirstNet, that's what I was talking about. I wanted to talk about FirstNet because it will affect deployments. It's something that a lot of people are going to be interested in. But when you read about it, there's a lot of negativity that surrounds it because it's taking so long. And I get it. They're basically building up a carrier from scratch, which is great for all you people out there that want to build, all you contractors, including me. Hey, let's go. Hire me to consult. I am there, buddy. But the reality is, it takes a long time and it's a lot of money this way. So what I wanted to do was look over what they do have and what they don't have. And I wanted to also to point out some articles here. One of the articles for Mission Critical is about the nationwide acquisition approach for the final RFP. Final RFP is coming out. They have actually made a statement, they being FirstNet, that they wanted to build a nationwide network. They weren't going to do it state by state or region by region. When they put the RFP out, it's going to be for a nationwide network, which means the RFP is going to be a nightmare, right? Because when I say nightmare, it's going to be huge. I should put it that way. It's going to be a huge RFP because it's going to be for the entire United States, continental, and all the states, tribes, everything in the U.S. That the U.S. owns, which, you know, Puerto Rico is not a state, but it's covered under FirstNet. A lot of the islands out there that will be covered under FirstNet. The reason this will be such a challenge is because all the big contracting companies will get in on it and they're going to have a hard time bidding it. And I will tell you for a fact, it is very expensive to build out Hawaii when you have to cover all of the islands of Hawaii. And when you cover Puerto Rico or even the Virgin Islands, the U.S. Virgin Islands, all this has to be covered. It's a U.S. territory. They're going to cover everything. So when you look at it, you have to look at it as a whole. It's going to take a long time to respond to something like that. Where if you did it regionally, and what I mean by regionally, northeast, southeast, midwest, northwest, southwest, and then you could do, say, the offs, the one-offs. Like, well, Hawaii would be part of the west, but like Puerto Rico, that'd be a one-off. Like the U.S. Virgin Islands would be a one-off, but it doesn't look like they're going to do it that way. And I get it. FirstNet's a small group, which, one, it's going to be a huge task. And the contractors, I would imagine like the Bechtel, the General Dynamics, Motorola, companies like that will probably bid on this. They're going to have to pull in partners. They're going to have to pull in OEMs. In this case, Nokia, because Alcatel-Lucent won't be around. They'll be taken over by Nokia. And Ericsson. Ericsson will be a big player. And Ericsson will probably bid direct. That's how they roll. They're a big company. They'll probably try to do it all. So I would imagine Ericsson will partner and bid direct, and they may even partner with Motorola. Motorola and Ericsson are pretty tight. But Motorola, if you ever worked with them, they'll partner with anybody if they can see a win. Motorola's out to win. So let's see what I say. You got Nokia, who won't bid direct. They'll probably bid with a partner as well. I don't know who, but probably General Dynamics or Bechtel or somebody like that. Motorola may even go to different companies. Maybe it's cheaper to build like one in part of the country than the other. I don't know, but it's going to be a lot of work. So I just wanted to bring that up because it's going to be a lot of work when it does hit. Unfortunately, the RFP won't be released till the end of 2015, which now I want to go over the timeline. So imagine the RFP is going to come out the end of 2015. And the group to put this out, it's not like you have a carrier where you have teams and you have an established group. This would be like a startup. I don't know if any of you remember LightSquared, but LightSquared actually started to build this up, and they had to build huge teams, site acquisition, legal. You need a legal team. Well, the feds are trying to do this, FirstNet specifically, with a lot of volunteers, with a board and a small group. It's very small. It's just an unsurmountable task for this group to do this and keep control of it. Therefore, if they're going to put out this huge RFP, I see it taking a long time. One, they probably wrote it up. They actually have the RFP. They put out the draft RFP. They wrote it up. And I think that it's going to just be a huge task for them to complete it. So I see them actually putting this out at the end of the year. And then I would see them taking 3 to 6 months to review everything. It's going to take a long time to review it. They probably have a very aggressive schedule like, oh, in 90 days, we'll have everything reviewed. Oh, it's going to be so much data, so much to look at, so much pricing, so many ifs, ands, buts, so many assumptions and exceptions. And I don't know how they're going to get all these companies to do the country. It's just going to be hard. So who's it going to be hardest on? The contractors. Because when they put it out to bid, They're going to have to look at everyone for equipment, for services, and the services, as you know, for LTE are huge. One, you have the core that's completely separate, and they should keep it separate. They should, in my opinion, they should keep the core separate because it's a huge core. You're looking at the country here. You're looking at redundant locations, more than two probably. You're probably looking at three or four, one for each region and then backups for those and so on. You know, different backup, a different location. But the other thing they're going to have to look at, there's so much more to this than just building out an LTE network. You can't run fiber everywhere. You can't run wireless everywhere. You can't run copper everywhere. You're going to need satellite in some cases. That is a one-off for a lot of these companies. Not many people do satellite on a long-term basis, but in some of these areas are just going to have to do some type of satellite backup. Some people have solutions for that. They'll probably have to do a type of UE backup. They may rely on a carrier for a backup and so on. It just goes on and on and on. So what I want to talk about that, I get into that, but what the next thing I want to talk about is Andrew Siebold, analyst in the wireless industry, wrote the article about who would want to bid on FirstNet, on the RFP, the real RFP. Well, I wrote down some points. I'm a fan of Mr. Siebold's work. I follow him when I can. Been around for a long time, and I'm a fan. First, answer the question. Who would want to bid on it? Everybody, because they want part of that $7 billion. It's all about the money. I don't know if he cares about that. Any contractor or OEM, large management, any project management company that wants part of that $7 billion, they're going to grab that RFP and read it from day one. They've read the draft RFP. They've responded. The company I work with, we responded to it. We made suggestions. We hope we get a piece of that because it's $7 billion with a B dollars to start. Now, is $7 billion enough? It's enough to get started. Let's face it. I'm guessing it'll take over $30 billion to get it over 75% completed if they build it themselves. If they partner with a carrier, they could save a lot of money. If Google were to step in or somebody like that, which would be awesome if they did that, it would just be awesome if they did that. They could probably partner, they get the bandwidth, and they could sell regular customers on it. The only time the regular customers couldn't use it if there's an emergency in the area, because then the first responders get priority. That's the way it's written. So I got to tell you, I looked over all the paperwork, but they don't think it'll cost that much. But let me tell you something. Verizon, AT&T, Sprint, T-Mobile, regardless what you think about the carriers, they put a lot of money into their network. And if you don't think they did, and you do carrier work, think of what you build them for your area, for your region. Then take that times like 100,000. That's what they paid for this. Carriers spend a lot of money on stuff. We don't always agree with it. Now, I know we get mad about the safety stuff because, you know, they don't seem to really care. That's why they put layer and layer and layer of contractors down. But the reality is many of you guys want to work directly for the contractor. Well, in FirstNet, you're still not going to work directly for the feds. You're going to work for a management company, a project management company, somebody like that in between. But it's going to be a lot of money. I don't know how they're going to sustain it. I don't know how they're going to do it. I'll get into that next. So my next thing, my next point, my next bullet point in my blog at wadeforwireless.com, can FirstNet run and maintain this RAN system without outside help? Hey, no. I don't know how they're going to do it. It costs a ton of money to run a network. Regardless what you think, regardless where you're coming from, it's a lot of money. They're going to have to find help somehow, whether they partner with somebody, get another investor, or if they think they're going to sustain it with money coming in. And I'll get into that soon, how they're going to make money. So someone's going to have to maintain it for them. The feds, even the states, don't have the groups of people to run a network like this. When I say groups of people, I mean a NOC. They may have NOCs, but they probably don't have someone that is technically savvy enough to run something like this, because you're going to have to take calls. You're going to have to configure devices. You're going to have to maintain the network. You're going to have to configure the network. You're going to have to market the network. You got all this crap to do, right? I mean, these are all things that we take for granted, because when we get our phones, we either get it online, call a number, usually an 800 number, or we go to a store. I go to a mall and I pick up a new phone if I have to, or I get it through the mail. I say, hey, my phone died. Send me another one. 2 days later, I got another one, right? You're just without a phone for 2 days. Sucks, but that's the way it is. You know, it's just going to be so much to run this system. They have to pay someone to do it. My point here is OPEX is going to go up. OPEX is your monthly expenditure. They're going to pay more annually. It's going to be a continuous money out the door. Something to think about. My next bullet point, does anyone think that FirstNet can sustain the network financially by selling services to public safety groups in these states? Not really. It's a hell of a business plan. They got to make the money back from the states. So here's the way it works for those of you that don't know. FirstNet doesn't just spend your tax dollars to build this, right? Now, $7 came from the auction. If they were smart for the 600 mega auction, they would ask for $30 billion more. That's my opinion. $7 billion is going to get them started. I would ask for $30 billion more. And whoever asked for that $7 billion probably thought, oh my God, $7 billion. It's a lot of money. It's a start, people. It's a start. You hear me? I would ask for more money, but I'm sorry. I got totally off track. The business plan is that they build it for $7 billion. And they have one of two plans. They can partner with a carrier who would lease the spectrum and they would get money back for the spectrum. Well, with two spectrum auctions, it's hard to get money back on leasing spectrum when all the carriers have just bought spectrum. You understand what I'm saying? It's hard to get that money back because they just bought spectrum. It's hard to lease it. Now, unfortunately, they won't have anything built till 2017. So maybe it's a year away. Maybe they'll need it by then. You know, maybe they can work another deal. But the reality is if they want to start building it themselves, they aren't going to make money through leasing the spectrum. So here's what their plan is. Their plan is to make money off the states, the counties, the cities, the municipalities, any emergency responder that wants to lease a device. So they would be set up just like a carrier, just like a Verizon, a Sprint, a T-Mobile, an AT&T. What they would do, they would just lease the devices to the state and the state would pay a monthly fee for it, whether it's a device, a camera, backhaul spectrum, whatever it is. So they would be set up just like the broadband carriers. They would just say, hey, we have broadband, pay us for it. And maybe they would sell devices, maybe they won't. Maybe the states would have to buy their own devices. It would be hard for them to make enough money off the states to make this money back. They would have to sell to all these different carriers. And to be honest with you, if they don't have voice on it, I don't see a lot of value in it. Data is awesome. Don't get me wrong, I love data, but on your phone, you have apps, but eventually you're going to want to make a call or receive a call. Text isn't going to cut it. You're going to want to make a call or receive a call. Even if it's not a priority call, even though emergency responders have all their trunking systems in, when I say trunking, I'm referring to P25 or Tetra. They have voice services. They have that in another device. Would they combine this on one device? Yeah. And if all these people that made these devices, I think Ericsson made some so far. And there's a lot of companies that got out of it because it took so long to do. Everyone thought FirstNet was going to happen 2 or 3 years ago. Actually, 3 years ago. I remember working on bids 3 years ago. A lot of those companies, gone. Why? They couldn't wait. If you build a product and you can't sell it for 3 years, it's hard to maintain that product. It just is. The only people that can maintain it are the behemoths like Ericsson who can make something, throw it on a shelf and say, I hope we sell it in 3 years. But even they're going to have to make it modifications and upgrades. I digress. Let me go on. Backhaul network. You got to pay for backhaul, people. Backhaul costs money. That's what I'm trying to tell you here. Again, OpEx. Backhaul is going to cost them money every month. Who are they going to get backhaul off of? Obviously, any of the fiber vendors out there, you're going to make a ton of money off FirstNet. And they probably will pay their bills. That's the good news. The feds pay their bills. The states also, I know Pennsylvania specifically, the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania has their own fiber network, fiber/wireless/ whatever they could get away with. They have a great network here in the state. I know that because Alcatel-Lucent built part of it and Verizon built another one for the state. So they have two networks here in the state of Pennsylvania. They will gladly lease to FirstNet. Why? Because they'll make money off of it. Now, if you're thinking about getting on the state network, it's very hard if you're just a company. I don't think they would ever do that unless you had some interest that the state would want. But they do it for other government, municipality, or other entities that are government related, right? Like if you're a county and you wanted backhaul, the state would give you, you know, let you on and charge you for it. That's the way they make money off their network here in the state. It's not just this state. All the states do this. As far as I know, most of the states do it. I shouldn't say all. I don't know how they all do it. But I know most of them do this. And they share the network and they make the money back that way. Just like FirstNet wants to make money back on their devices on the federal network. If you're just some Yahoo that wants on the federal network, that's probably, you're not going to get on. It's for emergency responders only. For backhaul, it's the same thing. The states would gladly lease it to FirstNet. FirstNet needs backhaul. The states have it. Bam, there you go. So that's something the states can make money, but it's also more OpEx out for FirstNet. It's another monthly fee. I talked about that. I talked about devices. One other thing that came up in Andrew Siebold's article in Mission Critical was the draft RFP a good model for the actual RFP? You know, I thought it was okay. I didn't think it was bad. You don't have a dedicated and experienced wireless team there. Now, don't get me wrong. They're smart people and they're learning every day. I mean, you got a crack team there. Don't get me wrong, but it's all new. And you know what? LightSquared's a good example. There you have a new wireless team. They're figuring it out too, or at least they were until they went bankrupt and now they're back out. Who knows what's going on? But my point is, whenever you start a new team, it takes a while for them to learn the ropes and learn how to bid and so on, and also how to write an RFP. Even if they've seen a dozen RFPs, which I have, I've seen hundreds of RFPs. When you're writing it, it's a lot different. When you're putting it together, it's a lot different. You're going to use old RFPs. You're going to put out an RFQ and ask questions. And that's what FirstNet did for the past 2 years. It takes a long time. And the other thing about FirstNet, they have a very small team. They're very alert and they're very smart. They look through everything and they've proven that by their responses. When you ask questions on the past RFPs and the draft RFP specifically, they do give responses, but geez almighty, I mean, it's overwhelming what they're going to do here. I mean, they're actually going to pick somebody to do a nationwide build, or they're going to pick several carriers to build regions. Even though they're putting it out as nationwide, they could still change it. But gosh, if they change it again, another delay. I think the FirstNet mandate runs out like in 2020. I mean, I could be wrong about that. It's huge, people. I don't know how they're going to do it. I don't know what they're going to do. They have a lot of work ahead of them. Let me just put it that way. So brings me to my next point. Can they complete it before the deadline? I don't know how. I think the deadline's like 2020. I don't know how they're going to build anything by 2020. Takes a year. I mean, the whole network, you know, they might get regions or states built out, a partial network, and then what? Are they going to run out of money? Will they have the $7 billion? The next thing is the coverage realistic. They have to cover a lot of the U.S., a lot. And when I say a lot of the U.S., I'm talking real estate. I'm not talking population. Population's where they'll make their money back, but there's a mandate for them to cover, what is this, like over 90, 95% of the continental U.S., all the territories and everything. It's going to be a tough job. I mean, the carriers don't even want to do it. That's why you have so many carriers in the U.S., you know. I mean, we all heard about the big four, but what about the other guys? Someone's got to cover these areas. And usually the big carriers don't want to cover it unless they see payback. So why would they do it? You know, I mean, FirstNet has to do it. They have to cover it. They have to build, which is good news for all you deployment people. Anyone that does work out in the middle of nowhere, guess what? You're going to get more work. And guess what? It's more government work. So you have an in there. Can they do it without the help of a major carrier? That's my next bullet point. Probably, but it's going to be much harder and cost much more. Carriers know what they're doing. They have a crack team. They already have the assets, meaning the sites. That would just be the best way to go. Next bullet point, will a major carrier partner with FirstNet? You know, I don't know. I don't see anyone publicly saying they're going to do it. I mean, Verizon and AT&T are looking into it, but is it worth the headaches? If something goes wrong and FirstNet starts blaming their partner, is that worth it? If something goes down that has nothing to do with a carrier, but because remember, all the FirstNet stuff's still going to go into the FirstNet core. If something happens and FirstNet screws up, everyone's going to look at Verizon and AT&T and say, how could you let this happen? I don't see any interest from T-Mobile and Sprint. I could be wrong. Maybe they are interested. Maybe they will be interested. I thought Google would step up. I don't see them showing any interest either. They want to do their own thing, preferably on Wi-Fi, apparently. So I don't know if they're going to get help or not. What I would do if I were FirstNet, I would partner with CCA. I would get the smaller carriers to help. Those guys are key to this. The U.S. Cellulars, the Entelos, the Shentels, all those guys, get them in here. Let's partner. Let's trade bandwidth for sites and figure something out. They need the spectrum. Here it is. God knows the FCC isn't giving it to them in a 600 megahertz auction. They're going to have to bid against the big boys. So get them in here. Let's do this. CTIA would be a big help, but you know, they're going to do whatever the carriers want, not what FirstNet wants. They're just, you know, the carriers say we want to do this, they'll be on board. If the carriers say hush hush, CTIA is going to hush hush. They're not going to say a word. So if FirstNet, next bullet point, if FirstNet wants to build the NPSBN, National Public Safety Broadband Network, what does that mean to wireless deployment? More work. Let me tell you, even if they start with this, it's a lot of work for everybody, whether it completes or not. It's a lot of work, and they'll continue to pay us as long as they need something built. And for all of you that do maintenance, you'll continue to get paid for maintenance as long as you can do the maintenance. There's some residual income for you. Next bullet point. Will FirstNet start to deploy in 2016? Hell no. They have to issue the RFP at the end of 2015. That process is going to take time. You got to get people time to respond. People, companies, everybody. Then there's the negotiations. There's the vetting of everybody. Then the ramp up, and they're going to build the core first. Oh my God, it's going to be so much work. They're just not going to do it. And probably 2017 is when we'll see some real field work. Hey, I could be wrong, but can you wait that long? Are you going to wait around for it? No, you're not going to worry about it till you bid on it. You're going to bid on it in 2016 when the contractors ask you to bid on it. Then in 2017, you're going to hope that the work comes this way and the political tides don't change. Because remember, there's an election in 2016. You remember that? Elections change things. I have more information at the bottom of the blog, and quite frankly, I'm talked out. I don't think I could give you any more value at this point. But FirstNet, it's going to be a major build. It's going to be good for everyone, assuming the contract takes off. But let's face it, it's just going to take a while. I know all you deployment guys, you can't look that far ahead to build your business plan. It's now, 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 in the next 6 months, and even the next year. But 2017, it's over a year away. And you hope it still works out. You hope the political tides don't change, and you hope the election doesn't change things. All right, everyone. Remember, my book's coming out. Be smart, be safe, pay attention. See ya.